Psalm 16. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, apart from you I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. And the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. This is the word of the Lord.
Have our prayer time later, but now the second reading, please, which Annabelle is kindly going to read for us. Jude, verses 17-25.
But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow no natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Be to God. What a relief not to be wearing a mask when speaking. Now, just before we pray, can I say that it's a pleasure to be with you again, and can I remind you that what I'm doing on these two Sunday mornings is to take the last sections of two New Testament letters under the general title of Finishing Well, because the writers of the epistles did finish well. They didn't trail to a conclusion. They wrote good stuff under the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we all need to hear today. So if you should have brought your own Bible, because church Bibles, of course, aren't available at the moment, it's Jude, verses 17 to 25. And I've given this week's study the title of Our Feet on the Ground, Our Eyes on the Glory. Our Feet on the Ground, Our Eyes on the Glory. Now, bearing that in mind, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray so very much that the Holy Spirit will give to me and to all of us light from your holy word. Please help me to think and to speak clearly, and help us all to receive your word, that our lives are enriched through it this day and this week to the glory of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, far be it from me, in the middle of August, to remind you that Christmas is coming. So I won't. What I will do is to take you back to last Christmas, and did you say to yourself, shall we ever get there? You had the shopping to do. You had the presents to buy. You thought you got them, and then you realised that, no, you couldn't possibly give this or that to Aunt Alice. And you had to think again. You had people coming to stay. That meant clearing the spare room. And where would you put all the stuff that normally goes in the spare room, and so on. But you got there. You got there. Do you sometimes think, we should be, about the glory that is to come, because this is really only the preamble, the foyer for the Christian to eternity with the living God? Do you think to yourself, will I ever get there? Shall I keep going spiritually? I'm assuming that you are a committed Christian and own Jesus Christ as Lord. Will I get there? Well, you'll find verses 17 to 25 of Jude's letter very helpful as well as challenging. These verses remind me, in fact, of a small book on our shelves in the Collins Gem series. I don't know if the series is still going, but this one is called the SAS Survival Guide. I've no idea why we've got it, but it's rather fun. It includes final sections on earthquake precautions and eruption hazards, and the chapter is called Disaster Strategies. Well, it seems to me that verses 17 to 25 of Jude are the spiritual equivalent. But for SAS, for Christians, that must mean something like saved and safe. Because by God's grace, when we're Christians, we are. Two headings for you to collect. First, in verses 17 to the first part of verse 24, which obviously is the greater part of the passage, living in the present, our feet on the ground. Verse 17, but, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. Don't forget. As we get older, and there's not a single one here of us who isn't older than we were yesterday, we have to devise devices so that we don't forget, so that we remember. My parents, my father was also an Anglican minister, they used to write little scrappy bits of paper and tuck them in the opening face of the clock in the dining room. You know, the old rather fat clocks. And you open the front, had a glass front, and then you wound them up once a week and so on. And they used to put these little bits of paper in. I didn't think it was a very good system, because every time you opened it, put another little bit of paper in, the rest fluttered to the floor. Or possibly in winter, into the open fire, which in those days we had. So our system is we put our little bits of paper on the hall floor. And so every time you go up and downstairs or go to open the front door or whatever, you see, and you have to remember. Dear friends, remember. And when we are Christian believers, the best way of not forgetting what it means to be in the kingdom of God and with Jesus as Lord and Saviour is, of course, to keep reading God's word. At the moment, I'm simply working through day by day a section at a time Paul's letters. I can honestly say it's familiar stuff, but I need to be reminded of it. I need to remember. And it's intriguing here that he says, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. That the apostles, that special band of disciples chosen by the Lord Jesus, they're already seen as distinct. And you may know, but if you don't, I will tell you now, that in fact the books for our New Testament, the third part really, if you regard what we call the Old Testament as the first two thirds, then the New Testament, the third third as it were, they were never actually chosen, but the early church recognized those that had the stamp of apostolic authority. They were saying the right things, and if they didn't come actually from the apostles, they certainly came from those who were writing apostolic truth. So the best way of remembering is to keep going with the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. And I don't know what helps you have. I'm sure Mark, when he's back here, will be happy to advise about some of the many, many, many sets of notes or study Bibles that are available today. Now, they warned, you see, the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, they said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. So it's envisaged that there are going to be those who are inside the Church of God as leaders, who may in fact not be, as we might well say today, converted. We mustn't assume that every minister, every archdeacon, every bishop, every archbishop is necessarily someone who has personally owned Jesus as Lord. We mustn't make the kingdom of God too small, but look at what it says. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. Someone whom you don't know and who isn't around here, who is an archdeacon, was saying certain things, and the person who relayed this to me said, I don't see how they can be a Christian. So remember what the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ said. Remember, we must remember, don't forget. Don't forget. People who think they know better than God's word. What happens if the CLE officially countenances same-sex marriages? Do we all say, oh well, that's what they said, that's what we must now follow? Remember what the apostles said. In the last days there'll be scoffers. They follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But of course the opposite danger is that we stay orthodox in what we believe, but it's in the head and not really in the heart. And you must read what Jesus said to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 to see that too can be a danger. Now then, this is the most holy truth. Your most holy faith, verse 20. So we've not only got to not forget, we've got to keep growing. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Keep growing. It's pretty challenging, isn't it, if you look back over the past 12 months and say, have I really grown as a Christian? Am I more alert for sin? Am I more wondering at the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? What have I actually learned from the scriptures? It's a strange thing, isn't it, that so many professing Christians actually seem to be babes in God's revealed truth. I've never regularly watched Mastermind, perhaps you have, but if I do, I'm staggered at the specialist knowledge that some people have accumulated in a particular area. It's extraordinary, isn't it? And yet as Christians, we can remain as baby Christians all our days. Well, switch on Mastermind if and when it comes. It's not on at the moment, I think, is it? Not much is on in August anyway. And say to yourselves, and I to myself, do I know the scriptures, God's mind and heart and ways and will, a tenth as well as this or that person knows what they're being quizzed on at the moment? as one commentator says, the faith, your most holy faith, is unique in the message it teaches and in the moral transformation it produces. That is true. So then, don't forget living in the present. Keep growing living in the present. And keep praying living in the present. Pray in the Holy Spirit. That must surely mean, most of all, that our prayers are lined up with what the Holy Spirit has revealed in God's Word. Here's a silly example, but it may stick with you. Supposing you have a burglar, but he makes a Christian profession, and he goes out one night and he says, "Lord, please may I get a big bag of swag tonight?" Now, that, you wouldn't expect that to be answered, would you? Because he can't be praying that in the Holy Spirit. But I find it very encouraging, because often when I pray it seems weak and wandering, but I do want to pray in accordance with what God has revealed, and he's able to do something with it. The two Christian books that I've most appreciated in recent years have, I have to own, been recommended to me by our elder son, who's also a C of E minister. And one of the two is a book called A Praying Life by Paul Miller. Has anyone come across it? Well, may I give you a burden on your shoulders? You all ought to read it. It is very, very, very helpful. It's the best book I've ever read on personal prayer, A Praying Life by Paul Miller. It really is so realistic, because he and his wife, apart from anything else, had to cope with a severely disabled daughter. I think she's since gone to glory. But it's the most telling book, A Praying Life by Paul Miller. So keep praying. Keep praying. Pray in the Holy Spirit. And that isn't the end of what he says. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire. Be merciful. The general drift of these verses is clear. That if we're walking with the Lord, we should be on the lookout for those in need. And here it seems some have some sort of church attachment. I think of someone we got to know, and he said to me one day, he said, "I wonder if you could give me a confirmation refresher course." And we got talking, and although he'd been interested enough in Christianity to get himself confirmed in his early 40s, he hadn't really got hold of what the Christian gospel is all about, the grace, the undeserved love of God in the Lord Jesus. At best, he was a doubter, at very best. But it's astonishing to see what God has done in his life. But if I just kept saying to myself, "I haven't really got time to fit him in, even in retirement," that wouldn't have been right or fair, and what would have happened? Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear. We can all come across, even in respectable circles, those who've gone so far in the wrong direction that their lives are really mucky and yucky. And as Christians, we should and shall surely help them spiritually. But we need to do it with care. We need to do it with care in case we are contaminated in the wrong direction. Actually here, what is intriguing is that in this verse, Jude is borrowing language from Zechariah chapter 3, where even Joshua the high priest needs his filthy clothes removing, representing his sin, and replacing it with what's pure and clean. So if we are open to the living God, you may find, I may find, we're taken alongside someone who is in a very yucky, mucky state. And we need to say, well, if you repent and turn back to God in the Lord Jesus, it can all be made clean. That's why he came, that's why he died. And we know that because he rose again. But let's watch that we aren't pulled in the wrong direction ourselves. I'm not sure this is really an illustration, but it comes to mind, although it's not in my notes. Many years ago, a girl who was a keen Christian, she insisted on getting married to a fellow who made no Christian profession. I don't actually know what happened to them, but I do know that at their wedding, another Christian girl met a non-Christian fellow, and they got married. And it doesn't work. Obviously, if one partner becomes a Christian after they've got married, that's a different matter. But if someone who is committed to Jesus as Lord decides to commit themselves to someone who is not a Christian, that is contrary to God's will and you're in for trouble. So we need to take care. Others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. But Jesus died so that people like us can be made completely clean. So that's all, living in the present. Second, more briefly, I guess you'll be glad to hear, looking to the future. Looking to the future. We are funny old creatures, aren't we? Even when we're Christians, we still treat heaven as though it was a sort of nice retirement. In fact, it's the other way on. This is simply the kindergarten, and the real life of a Christian is to come. I glossed over one bit in the first section deliberately. Waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. If you're a Christian, you already know the Lord Jesus Christ's mercy, do you not? But in eternity, we shall know it ever so much more richly than ever we have known it before. Wonderful. So that means that that day needs to loom much larger in our thinking. To him who is able, verse 24, to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour, be glory, majesty, dominion and power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the past two and a half weeks, Margaret and I have lost five people, I think it is, whom we have known well in years of full-time ministry. Very different people, actually. Very different. But all those who really love the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking how extraordinarily varied Christians' callings are. One, her greatest gift, which she exercised before, was cake making. She loved to make cakes. And gosh, did we benefit. Another was frankly an eminent Christian scholar. How different. But they've all gone ahead into the glory. And when you get to our age and stage, this is what happens. We shall see them all again, but it will be when this life is past. So it's a marvellous doxology here, isn't it? That he is able to keep us from falling, to present us before his glorious presence without fault. Once we are a true believer, he won't let us go. The final evidence that we are true believers is that he does keep us to the end. And because Jesus died to save us from all our sins, we shall be presented before the throne of God without fault and with great joy. We should be itching to get there. I told so often the story of a well-known Christian preacher of perhaps two generations ago. And when he knew he was dying, he sent a postcard to a friend and it simply read, "And just off, we'll see you there." Don't you think that's great? "And just off, we'll see you there." And he's able to keep us from stumbling, from falling. And do you say, really? Really? Do you remember a few years ago that terrible tragedy on Canberra Sands when I think five or six were drowned? And it might have been because the lifeguard wasn't there. But you see, our lifeguard, the Lord Jesus, is never off duty. And he'll get us there. A Puritan put it like this, a Puritan writer, listen carefully, I like this. Though Christians be not kept altogether from falling, yet they are kept from falling altogether. It's good, isn't it? And he will. Blameless, because the Lord Jesus died for us. Without fault, it says here, and with great joy. With great joy. In the very presence of the living God. Notice, the only God. The only God, our Saviour. I picked up just before getting the 9 o'clock headlines, and the tweet of the day before it is quite fun, isn't it, if you listen to that. I picked up the end of the fellow who gives a 10-15 minute, I don't know what I call it really, oration on Sunday mornings. I don't normally listen to him because he's an old cynic and doesn't seem to believe anything. And what came across this morning was just this. I'm an old cynic who doesn't believe anything. But I believe in the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, in his very presence. I finish with another little picture that I hope registers with you. In the autumn, we love going to a farm in Devon. It's Christian-owned, fourth or fifth generation, and it's on the edge of Dartmoor. And when we wake up in the morning, the sun rises. You can look down almost to the coast. Oh, terrific! I've never seen my wife Margaret hop out of bed so quickly as when she can grab a photograph and get a picture of the sunrise. But that sunrise, S-U-N, will be nothing to when the sun, S-O-N, rises on us to the glory of God and for that day. So, to him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty and power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.